love you. You may be seated. We got a great day, a great Sabbath day today. I was just thinking when the great Kohan Safanya was bringing this, North Korea has a total of 8,691,500 soldiers, and they still don't have peace. In fact, it's getting further from it, you know. They got nuclear bombs, too, and they still don't have peace. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The subject today is the two witnesses. And I really want you to listen closely and mark this in your scriptures. If you'll start with me from the beginning, and then when I give another scripture, if you'd make a note there in your book of Yahweh to go to this next scripture from that one, you can show this to anyone. And those who are get angry with me because I tell them their sins, and they start... They come to you and want to tell you some things about me. Tell them the scriptures has already told everything about Israel Hawkins. Show me what he says about you. The two witnesses. It's a long, long subject. I'm going to cover the most important parts today, and hopefully we can put that sign on the front page because everybody's wanting to know about the two witnesses now. Because they know that it's they're now waking up to the fact that we're going to have nuclear war, and they're all saying when, not if anymore, but when, and they're hunting the two witnesses because they know that it's time for them. So Yahweh is bringing this about, brethren, this information to them. But the two witnesses, if you'll turn over, now the world knows about this one, the Revelations 11. That's about as deep as they get into it. In actual fact, this work was prophesied by all the prophets of old. Every one of them mentioned this work. But Revelations 11 is the only one that Yahweh has allowed the preachers to see and examine. And from Revelations 11 alone, You of course, you can't understand about the two witnesses because the two witnesses, you have to go back to the prophet's writings to understand their names. Yes, their names are given. The time period that they were going to be born is given. What they're going to preach, what they're like, the details of their life, their names, how they got them, and so forth. Actually, Yahweh gave them their names, and no, they're not... They're not messengers from heaven. They carry the message that came from heaven. That comes directly from heaven, as Yahshua did. But they're not heavenly beings. They're of the Son of Man, as Yahshua was. And because they're of the Son of Man, they have a special reward coming. And that, of course, is authority to straighten out the universe. That's what's going to take place by their seed. The seed of the two witnesses will receive a spirit, Yahweh says, that he will use throughout all eternity. A spirit, so we can be exactly like Yahweh, 24 hours a day, all the time. And that's our desire. Well, here in Revelations 11 now, I will go speedily, but I want you to get the points. Want everyone to get these points. Revelations 11, and you out there watching and with computers and televisions, if you'll just get a pencil and paper and write down the scriptures, then later study them in your Bible. I'll show you the mistranslations, of course, and I'll show you the authority books that shows that these are mistranslated. But here he says in verse 3, we'll start with verse 3. He says, and I will give power, I will give to my two witnesses. So we see here there's two witnesses. And I will give to them. Yahweh himself gave this prophecy to Yahshua, so it's Yahweh that's giving this power to prophesy to the two witnesses. I will give to my two witnesses to perform the prophetic offices, and they will do this. they will foretell events. Now, that's the number two thing they do. They foretell events about a time period. The 1,260 days, those cast about with darkness. That word darkness, of course, means deception, misunderstanding, and of course, the fear of death, and eventually the darkness that covers the earth. Now, in verse 4, he says, these are, as it were, the two olive trees. Well, so we go out in the field and find us two olive trees. Well, now pay attention, because this is what it says. And of course, in order to understand what the two olive trees are, we have to go to the prophets to do so. Two olive trees, and as it were, the two lampstands. So we got one on each side of the bed. This will make you remember some of this in case you don't remember. The two lampstands, Now, King James Version says candlesticks, and I'll show you later that it's not candlesticks. They just mistranslated it. But we'll find out what that lampstand is and what the two lamps are. Two lamps of the seven lampstand. Now, we added this ourselves to the House of Yahweh version here, but that's what it's talking about, the lamps, and every scholar knows this, but we can prove it from other scriptures. Ministering for the Father. Ministering for the Father. Now, if you wrote down those points that I gave you there, there's two witnesses. They are the two olive trees, two lamps on, they represent two lamps on the lampstand, and they minister for Yahweh. They minister for him. Now, that right there should get in your mind that you need to get with these two witnesses. You need to join the work that they're doing, because it's a prophesied work, a prophesied work. So what are these two olive trees? That's the first thing. You see, there's two olive trees and two lampstands. Lamp, the word lamp itself, it symbolizes or symbolical of the laws of Yahweh, to give light. How do we know this? Well, turn over to Psalms, and we'll let the scripture interpret the scripture. Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms 19, don't forget to write down that if you haven't written it already in your book of Yahweh. If you don't have a book of Yahweh, you really need to get one. They got an excellent version out that's about the 20th one printed now, and it's really great. I got one of the new ones. I'm starting now to make notes in it. Psalms 19 now, and look at verse 7. Psalms 19, verse 7. We're talking about lamps and what they symbolize. The laws of Yahweh are perfect. They're perfect. This is one thing they are. The laws of Yahweh are perfect. We don't have to change the laws. You can't find a way that they're imperfect. You examine it closely. There's no way. It's made to convert the whole person. It's made for a purpose, to show righteousness to that person and to convert the whole person. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, that is the prophecies, making the simple ones wise to salvation and to what is going to take place. Look at verse 8. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandments of Yahweh are pure, bringing understanding to the eyes. The reverence of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true, altogether righteous. They are more desired than gold. Remember, this is a gold lampstand, too. We'll see that a little more later. They're more desired than gold. And even much fine gold, they are sweeter than the honey. than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servants are warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Look on over now to Proverbs. Proverbs, the sixth chapter. Proverbs 6. And keep in mind the lamps. The lamps. There's two lamps on a lampstand. And what these actually represent. Proverbs 6 now, and notice verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23 says, and the commandments are a lamp. The commandments are a lamp. As we just saw in Psalms, how they convert the person. The law is light. The law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. That is the way to eternal life. The King James Version says the same thing. The Amplified Bible says this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the whole teaching of the law is light. Now, they get that from another transcript. The King James Version had it too. They just chose not to use it. But the teaching of the law is light. The whole teaching of the law is light. Now let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and look at verse 105. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Your law is a lamp. Your law is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So with that in mind now, you know what he is referring to here when he talks about a lamp or lampstand. Now, Revelations 11:4, we see two lamps of a seven-lamp lampstand. Let's go back over to Exodus. Exodus, the 25th chapter. Exodus 25, referring to the two witnesses and what the revelation that Yahweh gave to Yahshua to give to his messenger to bring it to Yochanan to be recorded for you right now. It wasn't for the disbelievers, but it's for you right now. To finish out this work, this is the finishing work that Yahshua was given, and the two witnesses are people that is spoken of starting in Genesis and goes clear through with the Savior. So be ready to get all of this great information because it's all here in the Holy Scripture. Well, here in Exodus 25, and if you go to verse 31. You'll see the light, the candlestand that he is referring to. He's referring to, which stands for seven works of Yahweh. Verse 31 says, "Make a lampstand of pure gold, and hammer out the base." That's the foundation, which actually stands for the foundation. I'll give you more on that later. And the shaft, its flower-like cups, its bulbs, the blossoms, shall be of one piece with it. If you notice all these different things that he mentions here, each one has a different meaning, but it portrays a different thing for the work. I don't have time to bring it now, but I'm going to get around to it, and I'm going to bring it to you. But there's six branches. Notice there's six branches from this that goes out from this shaft. The shaft that comes up that holds the center lamp. There's six branches. Verse 32 are to extend from the sides of the lamp, three on the one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with bulbs, they all have meanings, and blossoms, are to be on one branch three on the next branch and the same on all six branches. Verse 34. And on the shaft of the lampstand, there are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with bulbs and blossoms. Verse 35, let's go on down to verse 36. The bulbs and branches shall be of one piece. That one piece, if you might want to write unity right there, one piece, because no one that's not in unity with Yahweh is going to be part of this lampstand. And this is what he keeps harping on throughout the Holy Scriptures, and that's explained by prophets and apostles besides me. With the lampstand hammered, you might want to circle that word because it has a wonderful meaning of beating you into shape. Yes, that's what it means. Beating me into shape and you into shape. Out of pure gold, the pure gold also stands for the pureness of each one of them, or the unity. Purified as gold is purified, as one of the apostles said. There's a lot on this that we'll cover later. Then make it seven lamps. Notice it's seven lamps. So this was a seven-lamp lampstand that Yahweh showed Yahshua that he had written down for us by Yochanan. Then make it seven lamps and set them up on it so they light. So they give light, see? They give light. The light of the law, the same as the law, and it stands for that. Each one of these lamps, if you can imagine, is a work of Yahweh that gives light, gives the light of the law, of the laws of Yahweh. The false prophets and false apostles, false teachers, false saviors, they don't give the laws of light. They do away with the laws of light, but the works of Yahweh bring forth the laws of light. Did you get that? That's the difference. That is what, praise Yahweh. That's what Yochanan said distinguishes the people of Yahweh from the rest of the world. Verse 40 says, and see, this is very important that you understand this verse right here. And see that you make, they put them there, but it's actually all things. Make all things that is pertaining to Yahweh's work and his kingdom. Make all things according to this pattern. Well, the pattern here shows a lampstand, and what the lampstand signifies is what is going to become of this great work that has gone on now for a little over 6,000 years. And see that you make all things according to this pattern, which was shown to you on the mount. If you must remember now the apostles' writing. Let's go over to Ephesians. Keep that in mind, that make all things, and go over to Ephesians, found on page 917. Ephesians 2, make all things according to this pattern. So the finishing of this, what he's speaking of here is the finishing of this priesthood of families, made up of families with children. Families with children that make up the kingdom, that is going to make up the kingdom, the family of Yahweh that Sophania was speaking of, that's going to be very big one of these days. In chapter 2 now of Ephesians, and he says, therefore now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but that is foreigners to Yahweh. There is no other race. Don't get that. Don't get it in your mind. He's speaking of another race. It's foreigners to Yahweh's laws. That's the only difference in people. They either follow his laws or they don't follow his laws. And if you don't follow his laws, you're a foreigner. So, and if you follow, as he is telling you here, in the previous verses, then, therefore now, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of Yahweh. Members of the house of Yahweh, if you come to unity. Now, keep that in mind and go to Hebrews. Hebrews, don't forget what we're going for here, making things of this pattern, for this pattern, because this is the job of the two witnesses, as is shown in this lampstand in the last days. They're part of the lamps. There are two lamps that give this light, that give this light. Chapter 8, and notice verse 1. Now, the point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest. We have a high priest. I've brought many sermons, and I urge you out there to get them, concerning Yahshua, who was rejected by the 12 tribes. Only a few in Galilee actually stayed with the Savior when he was born and learned from him and then took his word out from there. A few, 12 in fact. And of course the 12 tribes later killed them off and their work. Then the work of Yahweh stopped. It stopped and it's been stopped for about 2,000 years now. Somewhere along 2,000 years, it's been stopped. But the two witnesses starts the last two works on earth. This is, keep this in mind as we study here, and you'll see this proven in your Holy Scripture. Now, the point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a priest. He's talking about, like in 7 verse 26, for such a high priest is fitting for us who is holy, harmless, not a warmonger, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Yes, he has that authority, and he got it because he is the Son of Man. It's not promised to the angels or the heavenly Malachim. But he got it because he is the Son of Man and he lived this righteous life. So we do. The point of the matter is this. We do have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. In the heavens. Well, why is he saying this and why am I bringing it to you? Because it's he that's guiding the work. And we'll see this by the prophets guiding the two witnesses. Guiding the two witnesses' work in the last day. A minister of the holy things, remember that, he's a minister of the holy things and of the true tabernacle, that is, minister of the holy work of Yahweh, the true tabernacle set up by Yahweh and not by man, for every high priest appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary for this one also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he could not be a priest, since there are already priests who offer the gifts according to the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is the pattern and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moshe was admonished by Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to this pattern shown to you in heaven, a plan to bring forth righteousness, a righteous priesthood. That was the pattern of a plan, of a ministry, as we will see in the very next verse. Make all things according to this pattern. And now he has obtained that ministry to make all things according to this pattern, according to Yahweh's plan of bringing forth righteous people to teach in unity the laws of Yahweh, is more superior indeed, of which he is a better mediator of the covenant, which was given upon a better promise established in the law of Yahweh. Now, that is verse 6. So we see here that Yahweh is that indeed he's beating the priesthood into vessels of pure gold, symbolized by a lampstand, without spot. Be turning over to Ephesians again, without spot. Ephesians, found on page 9:19. Ephesians 5, and verse 25, where he says now, 9:19, Ephesians 5:25, where he says now, speaking of this perfection that you're going to come to, and if you come to it, you will make it into the being a part of this lampstand that is setting by the side of Yahweh, because it represents the family of Yahweh and the works that bring this about, the seven works that bring it about. Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the called out ones and gave himself for them, in order that he might sanctify them, cleansing them with the law. Cleansing them with the law as with water. Now, that word law there, if you notice, if you have a King James Version, traditionally translated, the King James Version, word 4487, the Greek dictionary of Strong's Concordance shows that word means command or law. So you're cleansing the person. It shows you the path. Remember, we just saw that in Psalms. It converts the whole person to pure gold, pure righteousness, converts the whole person that he might cause the glorious called out ones. Notice that word glorious. Glorious, a sign of praise. A sign of praise. The house of Yahweh. Yes, I praise the members in the house of Yahweh. I do. I praise the children for overcoming. The glorious called out ones. Yes, look the word up. It's a sign of praise. The glorious called out ones stand by his side, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, that they would be holy and without blemish before Yahweh. In the same way, husbands, you're obligated. This is part of your growing up system. Verse 29, indeed, no man ever hated his own self. So love your wives as yourself. For we are members of his body. We're members. That is, if we come to this unity, humble ourselves like a little child and start growing into this lampstand. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined with his wife, the woman, the house of Yahweh. Who can find a virtuous woman? Remember this? It refers to the house of Yahweh, but it refers to your own wife also in coming to unity with the house, joined to the house of Yahweh, but to your wife in the same unity, teaching her to be in unity with the house. Not with your own stupidity now or your own weaknesses, but in unity with the house. You know, I always, when I read this, it makes me think of Abigail. You know, very few would ever stand up for Yahweh's kingdom the way this woman did. And of course, she's forever spoken of in the scriptures, and will bore children and so forth, and will again. But she stood up for righteousness, for the kingdom of Yahweh, because she knew this was the kingdom of Yahweh, as others did. But it makes me think of her. Very few people are able to stand up and say, no, I won't have this. You know, yes, I know you're my you're my mate. But no, I'm not going to go along with you in this kind of stupidity. But those, and very few husbands will do the same thing. They'll fall in line. They say, well, every time I talk about righteousness, you know, I hear pots and pans being thrown and dishes breaking, so I just stopped it. Well, that's not what you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to stop the other. This is a great secret, but I speak concerning the Messiah and the called out ones. You see that? The house of Yahweh must come to unity. So Moshe now. So the things Moshe made represented a ministry that Yahshua has gained now, united ministry, like, of course, the gold, the base of gold, the lampstands of gold, pure gold, in other words. Now, the lampstand is seven prophesied works. Seven prophesied works to bring people into unity with the prophesied work of the two witnesses. Let's go over to Revelations 1 quickly. Revelations 1. The seven lamps is a prophesied works of Yahweh. Started way back in Genesis. And I've got many sermons on that. I probably won't get to back to all. I can't get to all of them today, but this will get you started on the two witnesses. And I know that there's literally thousands of people out there that are contacting us and saying, I want to know about the two witnesses. And that's the reason this sermon is being brought and recorded, so you can get a copy of it. Well, Revelations now. 1, and look at verse 16. It says, and in his right hand, this was the message given to Yahshua that he gave to Yochanan to copy. And in his right hand, he had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. You'll see later that that sharp two-edged sword comes from one of the witnesses. It's actually what Yahweh gave one of the witnesses, he said. And his face was like the sun, shining in its strength like pure gold. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives but was dead. And if you remember, Isaiah had a prophecy about this, the one Yahweh stirred up from the dead that was put over the witnesses in the same chapter, the work of the two witnesses. And alive now, he's alive now forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And I have the keys of death and Sheol, the grave. Verse 19, write the things which you have seen, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place later. The last witnesses, they tell it like it was, they tell it like it is, and they tell it like it's going to be. Praise God. Now, verse 20. Now, the secret. You remember the books were closed. Daniel 12, where no one could understand it. So it's a secret up until this last time period. Even though it's written in black and white, and you say, well, we have the two witnesses, but nobody knows where they are. No, it's a secret, but to be revealed in the last days at a certain set time period. So the secret of the seven stars, which you saw in the right hand, and the golden seven lampstand, you're fixing to learn the secrets of it from the witness. The seven stars are the Malachim, which they translated angels now, King James said, but it means messengers. These seven stars that you see here are seven messengers of the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh, or the seven works, the seven prophesied works, When he made that lampstand, he was making a prophecy here of seven works of Yahweh. Seven works of Yahweh, and with the foundation going to be laid and being laid at that time, the base of it, the foundation of the prophets, and then the apostles and the Savior being the chief cornerstone, the guide of this house. The congregation of the house of Yahweh and the seven lamps, the seven lampstand which you saw are the seven congregations or seven prophesied works of the house of Yahweh. So now you understand what he's talking about here when he says these are the olive trees. Have you forgot it already? I would like really for everyone to memorize that. Okay, look back to Revelation 11:4. These are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lamps of the seven lampstand, ministering for the Father of the earth. So, when Moshe made this, it was a prophecy of the seven prophesied works. Those seven lamps represented seven works of Yahweh that were going to be. Now look over to Amos and remember, keep in mind, they're prophesied works. There's a lot of false prophets, but Yahweh says he's only going to have seven works, no more. Nothing outside those seven works. Amos, if you have a King James Version, page 696. Remember, these are seven prophesied works. In verse 6, will a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity, forster by religious impostors, be taking place in a city and Yahweh not have a righteous work there also? Surely he's got a righteous work there. Well, yeah, take me to that cross. I can make my way from there. These are the little things that they say. Well, the cross itself is a symbol of evil. It's a symbol of the wars that we're going to see take place very soon. It's a symbol of the sword turned upside down with the handle sticking up and a cross that was given to Constantine the butcher, the killer, the murderer. Most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that is prophesied, the seven prophesied works. Now, the works to make mankind in the image of Yahweh, in unity with Yahweh, forming a pure as gold unified family. Well, we see now in Genesis 1:26, we see Yahweh says, I'll make man in my image. That's Genesis 1:26. Write it down, but we won't go there. So these seven lamps are seven works bringing us together into one body of unity. Go back to Ephesians 4 quickly. Ephesians 4:4, found on page 918. Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:4. There would be no disunity if people would just follow the work prophesied, or as the Savior said, the one sent, because that's the one Yahweh is inspiring to bring, and you can't understand it unless Yahweh opens your mind to it, and no, none of the wicked will understand, Yahweh says. Even with this black and white, very plain sermon, none of the wicked, Daniel said, would understand. Ephesians 4:4, if you have it, there is one body, one body. You'll repeat that 400 times, write it on the blackboard 100 times. 11, verse 11, look. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets in this one body, preachers of the message in this one body of the kingdom of Yahweh, and some pastors and teachers in this one body. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for perfecting, bringing to pure gold these saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah, until we all come to the same unity. Notice, the same unity in the image of Yahweh, the faith of the same knowledge of the Son of Yahweh. Remember that, because this is shown by the prophets right here, the Son of Yahweh joining the witness in this last days to bring this about. Shown in the prophecy, as plain as it is right here. Yahweh has unto a perfect man, unto, notice you're perfect when you come into unity with this work, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the perfection of Messiah. Only seven prophesied works. Now let's go over to Revelations 10. And you got that in mind now. Revelations 10 now. Only seven prophesied works. Seven prophesied works. Go to Revelations 10. Revelations 10, verse 7. And when in the days of the voice of the seventh now, the seventh work, there's only seven prophesied works. And in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, remember Yahshua showed you seven messengers, seven different works, seven messengers, one for each work, when he will begin to sound, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished. That is, will be revealed as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So this tells you, you got to know what the prophet said. You've got to. Now remember in chapter 11, the lampstand here. And in chapter 11, and if you go back quickly to Exodus 25, I want to point out something here. Exodus 25, that I just kind of skipped over there a while ago, and most people do when they're reading it. And it shows you how easy that it can be missed unless Yahweh hits you on the head and says, hey, hey, look here, what I'm showing you in this verse. Seven lampstand. Remember that in Revelations, seven lampstand. Now look at Exodus 25, verse 31. Exodus 25, verse 31. Make a lampstand of pure gold with the base and so forth. And look at verse 32. Six branches. You see that? Branches. You got that? Branches. It's very important that you remember this now. It's important that you remember everything that I show you here. Now, the western light of this sixth lampstand never goes out. And the arrangements, where the way they set this, if I can describe this in your mind, I'm going to have an artist draw a picture of this. But you could get it from dictionaries, too. But the drawing of this in the Holy of Holies, if you remember, there was the showbread. The showbread was set on the north or right side. That was the bread of life. You know who the bread of life was. He's the one that Yahweh raised from the dead, the bread of life. On the south or left hand of Yahweh was the lampstand. South or left? Left. Now, that lampstand was facing east and west. East and west. The western light sits right on the left hand of Yahweh. I brought you a prophecy of that, if you remember it. You remember it? We'll see it again, but remember that. Keep that in mind now as we study the rest of this out. In the last days now, we have two lights. We have the sixth and seventh light shown. In Daniel, go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, and look at verse 4. because Daniel was given these prophecies, and he's showing you how the beastly system was going to react with the laws of Yahweh. He's going to do away with them. Well, of course, this beastly system was made up of the 12 tribes. You only, of all the families of the earth, have I dealt with. Remember that and believe it. You're a fool if you don't. You'll never understand the scriptures unless you believe these prophets, what the prophets have written. That's the reason the Savior said in Luke 24:25, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. You can't even know the two witnesses unless you believe book one. They're the ones that show you, the prophets that show you in the prophecies. Here Daniel now, this is found on page 684. If you have a book of Yahweh, Daniel 12, verse 4. But he said, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Then Daniel said, I looked, and behold, there stood two others. Two others here. Two others. In Revelations 11, he says, I will give power to my two witnesses. My two witnesses. Now, let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. We know there is two witnesses. Two witnesses. Isaiah 44 gives you the names of these two witnesses. The names. And it shows you how they got those names. They are the sixth and seventh lamps on that lampstand. They're the east lampstand. He stirred up my brother to start a work, establish it in the east, where and Yahshua, Yahweh showed you the east. This is in a previous sermon, and if you're in radio or television or computer land, you could get that sermon by writing for it, but a lot of information is given there. But you will have enough to start your work on the two witnesses right here. And I beg you to study with us. Don't try to make it on your own. Study with us. You'll get lost if you don't stay with the light, in the light. You'll fade out into the darkness. That's what it represents. Praise Yahweh. Okay, now here is Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Now, most people, they think, well, this is talking about Israel, Jacob, who was named Israel. No, he's dead. He was dead a long time before this. But his seed of Abraham is going at this time. The seed of Abraham, Yahweh has guided it down to bring forth two witnesses. As he did Yahshua, and Yahshua is in full control of this work, as we'll see in the prophecies here. But he's talking about two brothers. Verse 2, he says, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, which means they're the brothers that come forth from the same mother. Who will help you? That's Yahweh who will help you. Do not be afraid, which means fear is going to arise with you. So don't be afraid, Yahweh says. I'm in control, and you should see that by now, that Yahweh is in control. He allows certain things for test, and that's it. Jacob, do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yishron, that means beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. So we can see a difference now in these two men, these two brothers, two assignments, two different assignments here, if you will look close. Jacob and then Israel, whom I have appointed for certain things. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed. Your seed, now that's ones that are converted from preaching, if you want to look up the word. It actually comes forth from preaching and upon your offspring, which means those born into you. biological sons and daughters. They will spread. So both of them are equal. Whether you're a direct child or a child from preaching, you're still my children. And don't act like rebellious children. You're children of the seventh light, the seventh light of Yahweh. They will spring up. You will spring up if you'll let Yahweh guide you. You will spring up among the grass as willows by the water's courses. One will say, one of these brothers now will say, I belong to Yahweh. And the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Israel. Verse 6, this is what Yahweh, the King of Israel and Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, says, I am the first, I am the last, and except for me, there is no source of power. You got to believe this, brethren. The gods are helpless. They can only go as far as Yahweh allows. Praise Yahweh. And who as I? Who? Now, he's asking the question here. Who? Pay attention to this. Look closely at what he said. Who? As I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, who? Let them, these two brothers, foretell. Hold your place there and just swing your book open to the Revelations 11 there. You should go to the exact page. Just swing it. I got mine marked. I got a marker laying in it. See, I got. Okay, 11. Chapter 11, verse 3. Remember, let them foretell. I will give to my two witnesses to perform the prophetic offices, and they will foretell events. Now go back to Isaiah 558, that is page 558, Isaiah 44, verse 7, the last part of that verse is, let them foretell them. Well, who are these people? Look at verse 8. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. He's telling you again. So they're facing much fear at this time. Have I not told you from that time and have declared, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses who will foretell these events. Revelations 11, the two witnesses. I'll give power to my two witnesses. You want to know who the two witnesses are? He just told you, two brothers. Two brothers. There are two brothers here. Isaiah 44, that was 1 through 8. Now, remember there's a lot of false prophets. Matithiah 24, maybe we better turn there. Matithiah 24. Now, remember Yahweh will have no work unless it's prophesied. This is seven prophesied works. This is the last prophesied work, the seventh and western light. Last prophesied work. Matithiah 24. If you look at verse 5, Yahshua says, and many will come against my name. King James Version says, in my name. But if you'll look that up in the diglot, you'll see that word, or any other authority book, it will show you the word there is against. It means against my name, that is against my authority, which means he's going to be in authority at this time. That's one thing he's telling you there, saying, I am anointed to preach and will deceive many. So if somebody comes to you trying to preach outside the house of Yahweh, brethren, there's no light in him. No light. Seventh light. Prophesied light. Praise Yahweh. Now look at verse 9. Then they will hand you over to be afflicted and call for your death. This is going to take place in the midst of this tribulation, he says in verse 8. You will be hated above all people for my name's sake. That was proven that the house of Yahweh is hated above all people in this time period because we're exposing their sins. The same thing that the Savior did. The same thing the Savior did in Yochanan 15, 20 and 21 or 22. He says, if I had not come to them and showed them what I did, they would not have had their sins exposed. But he said, they hated both me and my Father, and that had to be proven. Well, this had to be proven, and it was proven in their own courts of this land. It was proven. We're hated above all people on the face of the earth. Praise Yahweh. And then will many be offended and fall away? Yes. Yes, don't expect everybody to stay. And verse 11, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because iniquity will abound, yes, the sins are abounding more and more. If you looked up, child, just the defects of children when they're born, women are getting to where that they have to cut the babies out. That's how weak the population, the human, as you call it, race is getting. If you looked up the disease epidemics, it's hard to believe the amount of disease epidemics we're having all over the world right now. But because iniquity will abound, the love will grow cold. You can see the love from what is going on in and around the great river Euphrates right now and the fusses we're having. They're asking the UN now and the US, the quartet, they're asking the quartet to make yet another peace treaty for Israel and the Palestinians. Yet another treaty. You could make 500 of these treaties. Ask the Indians in Oklahoma how many peace treaties they signed, and did anybody keep them? No, not one. But he who endures now in the house, in the light, he who endures in the light, the seventh light, the seventh prophesied work of Yahweh, the same will be saved. Now notice he's preaching, this is the same time this message is going out. And this message of the kingdom will be preached who? By who? Let them foretell them. Remember, you just read it. Let them foretell them. Look over to Acts quickly. Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts 20. And then we'll get back into this other. I'm going to keep you overtime today. Don't even start thinking about it. Acts 20 and verse 30. Also among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Can you believe that? Leaving the light of Yahweh to go and speak perverse things to draw out disciples after themselves. Let's go over now to Isaiah, the 8th chapter, and here he tells you again, Isaiah 8, and notice verse 20. Now remember the light. These are lights that Yahweh set up to show you the path to salvation, to righteousness. Salvation, seven works of righteousness, is the complete works that he set up to form his kingdom. And in that time period, he will form his kingdom. We'll see this. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, he said, to the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light. No light. They're not in this light that Yahweh prophesied to be, or one of the seven light. Now remember in Revelations 11:4 again, two olive trees. These are the two lampstands and the two olive trees. the two olive trees. The King James Version says candlestick, but if you'll notice the references that, I got to turn back there. the references is that it shows its lamps. If you have a King James Version, and I decided to put that because a lot of people do have King James Version, it says candlestick. But it actually means, let me see if I can find the reference here, verse 11:4, Greek traditionally translates this lampstand. The Greek English lexicon by Liddell and Scott, page 1067 and 1068, shows this word is correctly translated lamps, two lamps of the seven lampstand. See chapter 4 of Revelations and verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps, they got it straight there, of fire burning before the throne, which signifies and represents the complete plan of Yahweh, that is to bring about this priesthood. Now, remember two lamps, and remember the prophecy of Daniel, two others. Oh, we got to read that because I left out two words there. Go back, Daniel 12, found on page 684, Daniel 12, verse 4 says, shut up the books. Then Daniel looked and he saw two others. Daniel looked and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank, I'll explain that later, of the river, and the other on the other. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who on that future day, notice that, future day, and if you follow the references there, it will show you that that is exactly the way that is, the Hebrew words have to be translated. On that future day is teaching. So the two he saw is teaching on a future day. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Zechariah. And remember, Revelation said there's two. And then we see the two brothers, and Yahweh says, these are my witnesses. So, and Revelation says they're the two lampstands and the two olive branches. Now, Zechariah, the fourth chapter, Zechariah 4. Notice verse 1, found on page 718, Book of Yahweh. Zechariah 4, that's Zechariah in the King James Version. They took the word Yahweh out. Zechariah 4, verse 1. And the messenger who talked with me came again and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of a sleep and said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see and behold a lampstand. This is the same thing we saw in Revelation 11 now, and said, these two witnesses now, they're the two lamps on the lampstand of gold. We saw that with its bowls of oil and so forth on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to the seven lamps. And there are two olive trees, he said, two olive trees it has here now, look, by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the other side of it. And verse 4 says, what are these, my ruler? What are these, my ruler? The two olive trees on the right and on the lamp, on the left. And the lampstands, the lamps, what are these? Look at verse 12. He says, and I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches? Now we see the olive trees are branches he is referring to. What are these two branches? And it's very important on future prophecies here and learning the future prophecies to understand the branch, because we see here witnesses called branches. Branches. Yeshua said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Speaking of these works, olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil through them. Now, chapter 5. Look on over to chapter 5 and verse 5. He says, then the messenger who was speaking with me came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes and understand that which is sent by commandment. Well, we know these seven works of Yahweh, these seven lights or periods of work that bring the light to mankind is sent by Yahweh, sent by commandment. There's no changing it. It's sent by a commandment of Yahweh. Look on down to verse 9. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women. Two women. Women. House of Yahweh is shown to be a virtuous woman in unity with her head. Her head, the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh. If two people are married and they are in unity with the house of Yahweh, they're going to be in unity with each other. Yes. Well, the house of Yahweh is known as woman, as women. He lifted up his eyes and he saw two women. The last two eras of the house of Yahweh with sent with commandment, the Spirit of Yahweh came. Now, these are two, one from the east and one from the west, as we saw earlier. And Daniel saw them separated too. And they were covered with the covering of saints. And they exalted and magnified and extolled the ephah, the standard of perfection. That's the gold part sent by Yahweh, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. As First Yochanan 3:10 says, keeping the laws of Yahweh, that separates you from the nations, from the Gentiles, from the heathen. That's the words they're called. Now, in verse 11, remember what these two olive trees, now, they're two olive trees, two lampstands. What is their purpose? Here you see it. Here you see it. Let them foretell it. But here, if you notice verse 11, they establish a house. The houses of Yahweh, two women, two houses of Yahweh. And he said to me in verse 11, where are they going to build the house of Yahweh? Well, where are they going to build it? Of Yahweh, according to the standard of perfection. According to the standard of perfection. Well, you can't beat perfection, can you? No. Perfection is Yahweh's laws. They are perfect, as you just read. The laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. That's what it's about. Sent by Yahweh's laws, sent now by Yahweh's laws, in a Babylonian land. Establish it in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established. It will be established at that time, when the two witnesses are called out to do their work as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. That word build in the first line there. If you look over to the reference there, that word build, the analytical Hebrew Chaldees lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, page 95 shows this Hebrew word means to establish. That's the word build. The house of Yahweh, if you notice the reference, the Hebrew Beit translated house in most cases, but it means, according to the lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, page 82, it means house of Yahweh. The word Babylon or Babylonish, the Hebrew word Shinar, and that's the way the King James Version has it, Shinar, the lexicon, in Various Testimony Libra by Coeli and Baumgartner, page 999, shows this word means designator of an empire other than Babylon. So this is not speaking of the land over there. This is speaking of a land undiscovered, not even in existence at that time, which is the United States, because the United States wasn't discovered until 1492. But this prophecy that actually shows it and another that it would be the chief nation of the nations, chief of the nations. There's one other one there, established at that time. That's to build the house of Yahweh. So we see here now that this lampstand, the two branches of the olive tree spoken of in Revelation 11, is to establish a house, the house of Yahweh, in a land not even discovered at the time that this prophecy was written. That's a fantastic prophecy. Fantastic. The United States, discovered in 1492, has become the chief of the nations, as Yahweh has said it would. Notice Isaiah 2. He says now, the word that Isaiah 2, found on page 531, the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem. Now, if you remember Yahshua's words to the Samaritan woman, that's found in, you might write Yochanan or John if you have a King James Version. Write John 4:21 there at the side of that, because Yahshua says, the woman said, our forefathers said we are to worship here in these mountains. Now you say we're to worship in Jerusalem. Yahshua said, woman, the time has come that Yahweh won't even be worshipped here in this place. No, the 12 tribes at that time were having everything taken from them because they'd turned against Yahweh. This was what the prophets show. The 12 tribes of Israel, the only group that was left in Yahshua's day was following Yahshua. Some of them secretly, but they were following. The only work of Yahweh was following Yahshua. Now, verse 2, but they won't be worshiping Yahweh here or in Jerusalem. Well, here he says now in verse 2, it will come to pass in the last days now, that the mountain, that means promotion, of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. So, which nation is chief in the last day? The nation that wasn't even discovered at the time, that is the land, wasn't even discovered when Zechariah gave his prophecy in chapter 5 and verse 12. And the house of Yahweh, it'll be in the chief of the nations established. That's what they said. The two witnesses are going to a Babylonian land, which doesn't even exist at this time, and they're going to establish the house of Yahweh. Now, that was the prophecy of the two witnesses. Has it been established?
Yes.
Are you not setting in it? The sign out front says, the house of Yahweh. The sign with the U.S. government says, it is established. The house of Yahweh is established in this chief of the nations. It testifies that this prophecy has been fulfilled by the two witnesses. By two witnesses. The two witnesses. One called himself Jacob, the other one Israel. We'll find out later that Yahweh gave them those names. In the chief of the nations, this is a magnificent prophecy, brethren, established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above the congregations. All congregations and all nations will eventually flow to it. That is what is left after the quartet does its work. Now, that is fulfilled in Revelation 7, as we will see in a little while. And many people will go and say, come and let us go up to the promotion of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law will depart from Zion. Remember, Yochanan 4:21, departing from Zion. He won't even be worshipped here anymore. They'll depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, it'll depart from there. He will judge among the nations. Well, in order to judge among the nations, that means the prophecy must be sent out to the nations. That's what the witnesses do. Let them foretell them. Who will foretell it and set it in order for me, establish my house? Let them do it. The two witnesses. Praise Yahweh. He will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. Our job is extreme, but Yahweh is going to do it, brethren, in our lifetime, in this generation. Praise Yahweh. That was through four. Where am I here? Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. Remember Revelation 7. Now, that's the end result of that prophecy right there, of this. Revelation 7 shows this. One of the two witnesses dies. Let's go back to Isaiah now, Isaiah 43, because one of these two witnesses dies, but they both got different assignments that I pointed out there just a minute ago. But look at chapter 43. He's speaking of these two witnesses in chapter 43, and in verse 28, he says, Isaiah 43, verse 28, he says, therefore I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Yes, that's what Yahshua said. The Father won't be worshipped here anymore. It's to be taken from you. I'm going to take the bread, the staff of life from you because you have turned against my laws, he said. That is all but the prophets, a few people in Galilee who stood strong and kept doing the work of Yahweh. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. It won't be anymore. And will give Jacob to the curse. Jacob to the curse. That means death. I'll give Jacob to the curse, showing that he, one of the witnesses here, in chapter 44, one of the two brothers, named Jacob, will die. That leaves the west light only. And that's the way history says, and the Talmud and everything says that light was never allowed to go out. The western light never went out, but it refilled. They used that lamp to refill the others and start them to burning again. The western light. See that you make, remember those words. See that you make all things according to this plan that I showed you. The western light, the house in the west, the last one. That's the prophecy we see in Isaiah now, Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Now here is one of the assignments. Remember the word branch now. Kept pointing this out. The word branch, Isaiah 11, found on page 537 of the book of Yahweh. Isaiah 11, speaking here now of the witness called Yisrael, or identified as the branch. One of these branches, which is the last one burning, the last branch of Zechariah, that Zechariah showed, of the olive trees. These are the two olive trees of the two lampstands, as Revelations 11:4 showed. There will come forth a rod out of the stem. That word rod there means twig. Out of the stem, that is stock, that's breeding of, they call it Jesse, but it's actually Yeshua. And a branch will come, a branch will grow out of his roots, out of the twig's roots. Roots was, remember, the foundation of the prophets and apostles. The roots of this teaching from the foundation of the prophets now, plus the apostles. That's what the branch has to grow on. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. Hold your place right there. Look back to chapter 44. Chapter 44, speaking of the two witnesses, verse 3, he says, "My Spirit, I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed." Start at the first, "For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring." Upon your offspring. "And they will spring forth." Look at back here now, Isaiah 11, verse 2. "The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding." So the understanding that was stopped in Daniel now, the books were closed. The understanding then comes to the last witness in the last days to bring forth this never understood light of the secrets. Remember Revelations. Turn back over again to Revelations 10. Hold your place here in Isaiah now. Don't lose it. 10 and verse 7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he will begin to speak, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished, as he declared by his servants the prophets." Now back to Isaiah 11, 2. "The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh will all rest upon this branch," the seventh messenger that brings to a close the complete plan of Yahweh. Seventh and last light. How far do I go here? 11, verse 7. Here we see now Yahshua and the seventh and last branch put together here. Yahshua and the seventh and last branch. Now notice further the prophecy of Zechariah 6. Let's go back to Zechariah and keep this in mind now. You got Yahshua tied in with the seventh branch here. Now go to back to Zechariah. He's the one that gave us the two olive trees, the two lampstands, the branches. The branches, verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12. "The branches, two olive branches, which through the oil, the knowledge, the understanding, the Spirit of Yahweh flows to you." You understand that? Have you got your book of Yahweh? Do you see it? Praise Yahweh. Now look, now remember, the two are tied together. Yahshua and the branch are tied together. Now look at chapter 6 of Zechariah. Remember, he's the one that gives you the two brothers here that builds the house in the land that's not even established. Now look on down to verse 11. Look at chapter 6 and verse 2 first. He says, with the first... He shows you here in chapter 2 and 3 the quartet. The quartet and the four horns now. Get this. The four horns to which Yahshua has to be tied. I'll get to that later now, but he shows you this in this time period right here. And you'll understand it now more if you'll keep this in mind and get this other in your mind right here in this same chapter. Here you see the four horns, that is the four powers, which Yahshua is bound. He's bound like the messengers are bound in the great river Euphrates. He's bound to do this work. You got that? He's bound to it. He's bound. And he's got to be bound or tied to these four horns. And this is the ones you see right here that he's tied to. That is the work. You know why? Because certain of this is going to be converted. In fact, the ones that are left are actually going to lay down their arms and they're going to come to the house of Yahweh and kneel before Yahweh, it says. Amen. That's what it shows of the quartet. Now look here at verse 11. Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the heads of Yahshua, son of Yazadek. If you look that word up in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance even, it will show you that word is Yahweh, the son of Yahweh. Who was the son of Yahweh? Yahshua. Why was he named Yahshua? Because Yahweh is going to save his people from their sins. And these horns that you see here represent the four powers that he is tied to. The horns, four horns of the altar that we will see much later on down, but we'll see it. But notice Yahshua, son of Yahweh. Should be Yahweh there. Even the King James Version should have been translated that way. I'll show you that in a minute. And they know it. They know that. And Strong says that is Yahweh. So make a crown of silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the heads of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Yes, Hebrews 10, verse 21. Hold your place right there and turn over to Hebrews 10. This couldn't be any plainer, brethren. There's no way you could misunderstand this if you're getting these scriptures. No way. And for all the scholars out there, I expect thousands of scholars to come from this teaching right here because they're after it. They want this. They're craving it. The knowledge that Yahweh is giving his house. Well, Hebrews 10 now. You can't make it without the foundation of the prophets or the apostles. And the apostle said here, right here, in verse 16, this is a covenant that I will renew with them after those days. This is Hebrews 10, verse 16. I will put my laws in their hearts. Well, you see, this is what the golden lampstand represents. The laws of Yahweh, pure as gold, and the olive oil that comes from these two olive branches, the laws of Yahweh, the righteousness. And now look on down to verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. A high priest. Now go back here to chapter 6 again. And notice verse 11. Take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, who is now high priest. Who is now high priest? You got that? Now look at verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. You know anyone that's done that? This man called the branch, one of the olive trees, one of the two witnesses, the last witness, in fact, the last living of the two witnesses, the last seventh lamp on the lampstand. He will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon the throne and the council of peace will be between them both. Did you see that? Between Yahshua and the branch. What could be plainer than that? In a Babylonian land not yet established when this prophecy was written. This makes my stomach. The first time I read that, it was even the hairs on my head, I think they stood up. Well, Revelations 4 now, remember, shows these are the last two works, are branches. Zechariah shows 4 and verse 12, the last branches. Then Isaiah 43 verse 28 shows one dies. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 shows the one does a work for with Yahshua. He does it with Yahshua. With Yahshua. Zechariah 6, 11 through 15, Yahshua the high priest and the seventh branch, Revelations 10, 7, when the seventh messenger speaks, The secrets of Yahweh are finished. Turn to Matthew 24 again, the Savior's writings, because he knew these prophecies, brethren, and he knew who was going to preach this message to the kingdoms of the world. Matthew 24 and verse 33, look at verse 33. He says, in the same way, when you see all these things, when you see these things, verse 34, that generation won't pass away till you see all these things fulfilled. Now, look at verse 14. These things and this message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. Now, the great Kohan, David Yehuda, is the one that discovered the fact that it's brought, that this should have been translated. This will be preached by the one who bears witness to all nations from Abel. From Abel, the house of Yahweh at Abel, and then the end will come. But either way, you can see, brethren, as a witness to all nations, even in the King James Version, as a witness to all nations, Zechariah 14 and verse 16 shows the end results of that, because they start coming to keep the feast at the established house of Yahweh. All that are left alive will even go up to Abel to keep the feast at this great house of Yahweh at Abel. We see this clearly in chapter 7 of Revelations also. Let's turn there and read that one. Revelation 7. We see the great wars turn loose, and finally they come. But what is left of them? You can see the conversions here that take place of the 12 tribes, of of the 12 tribes here. And after this I beheld, and a great multitude which no man could number came from all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before Yahweh's throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches. This is keeping the feast of Yahweh. Look at verse 10 also, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Father who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And then verse 14, and I said to him, ruler, you know. And he said to me, these are those ones who come out of that great tribulation and have washed their robes and made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb. They've accepted Yahshua, in other words, finally. For the Lamb, verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will feed them. Yes, he's in the midst of this work, this last day's work. Revelation 6 shows the quartet. Revelation 6. Now, turn back to, now remember, Zechariah 6 and verse 11, Yahshua is high priest. And chapter 6, verse 12, Yahshua and the branch are doing the work. Remember, the high priest in Hebrews 10:21, he's high priest over the house of Yahweh, and the laws are taught, the laws are once again taught in Yahweh's house. Now, my name, let's go back to Isaiah 44, talking about the two brothers now here who is given names. Isaiah 44 in verse 5, he says, one will say, this is on page 558, one will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself by the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand. He gives the details. Look at the details he puts in this. And write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Israel. Look over to chapter 45, and you'll see this was Yahweh's doing. Yahweh did this. Isaiah 45 and verse 4, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen. Notice how he separates their jobs here. My chosen for a certain job, of course. And I called you by your name, Jacob, and I surnamed you Israel, though you did not know that it was me. And all of this stuff took place, brethren, and you can see it now. Well, in Isaiah 49 now, it gets even more spectacular here for this last day's servant of Yahweh. Do you remember? I hope you remember. I hope I don't have to, shouldn't have to go back and rehearse this. But in Yochanan, when he was born, before he was born, you remember the miracles that took place to show that this was he whom Yahweh is sending as a forerunner to Yahshua? You remember the miracles that took place in the days of Yahshua? You remember in his life before his birth? Before his birth even, these miracles took place. You remember the one before Moshe that took place, that and how he was actually prophesied to be put in a basket and dropped in a river. These things were things that they could look for and see. And Yahshua says, when you see these things, when you see these things. Well, here now in chapter 49 of Isaiah, he said, listen, O walls, to me. Listen, you peoples from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name. If you go back to 48 and verse 19, what he meant here is described in this verse right here. Your seed would also have been as numerous as the sand, and the offspring from your womb, from your bowels, from your bowels. And then verse 1 here shows you that's what he's speaking of, the offspring. So he's saying here in this verse that your brother will name you. Somebody from your mother's womb, either a brother or a sister. It so occurred, and this was talked about in my family as a miracle that took place at my birth, because I had a brother that was 1 year old. And they asked that brother, what would you name as play in playing? And the brother gave my name, and everyone heard it loud and clear. He couldn't even talk, they said, and didn't talk for a long time after this, but he said the name and everyone was astonished. This is what this prophecy is speaking of. This is how much, how close Yahweh is to you right now, sitting here. You're here, brethren, because he called you here, because he has this last day's work to do. And you're as much a part of it as I am. You're part, you're the congregation. The congregation is this light of Yahweh. Verse 2, and he has made my mouth, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In Revelations, it described it as a two-edged sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft in his hand, in his quiver. He has hidden me, and that is trained me. This is also brought forth in Revelations, the 12th chapter, loud and clear. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. That's who he's speaking to, Israel. Chapter 44, you just saw the name of one of the brothers who is called the witness, through whom I will be glorified. Through whom I will be glorified. Remember, 8, you're my witness, Israel. And then 49, here he shows it's from the mother's womb. Look at verse 5. And now Yahweh says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring people of Jacob back to him. Yes, we're going to do that, because the descendants of Israel are not yet gathered. I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my father is my strength. And he said, it is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. We see that in Revelation 7, that the tribes of Jacob are going to be raised up and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles or to the nations. So this is prophecies of speaking of Yahshua, but done through this last candlestick, the last witness, the last branch, to the Gentiles, so you may be the salvation to the ends of the earth. Yes, that's us, brother. That's us. Now, notice verse 7. This is what Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, says, to him whom man despises. Yes, in chapter 43, 28, he says, he's going to give me to reproaches. That's how he let the world know that I existed. Everyone in the world knows Israel Hawkins and the $10 million bond of hatred that they set upon my head for preaching the laws of Yahweh. No other reason. Praise Yahweh. For him whom man despises, yes, they're going to be hated above all on the face of the earth, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise, princes also will worship. Yes, this is going to take place. The one they despise, they are going to come to for salvation. Because of Yahweh, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. This is what Yahweh says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will protect you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Yes, we're even going to rebuild the earth after it's burnt. So you may say to the prisoners, this day I'm praying for, come out. And to those, the prisons, the people in prisons, come out. If you, brethren, let's turn over back to the Savior's writings again here in his words in Matthew 24. Now, if you become part of this work, you will be tested, you will be tried. I'm speaking to everyone who's hearing this and the scholars who are truly wanting righteousness and wanting truth. You can't deny what I've said here if you'll study it closely and use the books that I even mentioned, the dictionaries, Hebrew dictionaries, and so forth. You can't deny what I've brought you here this day. But notice what he lays upon you here, anyone called in this time period. There is a test for you, and that is verse 13. He who endures, not he who leaves, but he who endures until the end in this candle bowl, in this lamp, in this life. The same will be saved. I'm sorry for going overtime. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. Are you still hungry? Praise Yahweh. Well, I gave you the food of Yahweh, and now we can go eat. And this message here is going to go out to all the world as a witness. By the witness. Yahweh bless you. I love you, brothers and sisters.